Coming up, the Tips Net for October 28th.
It's 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 28th.
Okay then, calling the Tri-City Tips Net, calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net for Wednesday, October 28th in the year 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I am located in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be your net control for the station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates... One second. Get rid of those annoying cell phone sounds. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to do two things. First, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. And secondly, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. Net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask you for those questions after everyone is checked in. There are three sections to the Tips Net. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should go through the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button. Listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you did, that you're not doubling. And if no one has, then solely give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location, and if you have any comment or question. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and this is Net Control Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo for this evening, and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is... Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie, Tango. No questions at this time.
Good evening. Here is. Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin. I'm located in Norwich, Connecticut. No questions yet.
Okay. Okay, that recognizes Dave, K1DCT, and Kevin, KA6PDG. We may lose a couple of people tonight. I know also at 7 o'clock there is a Cocoraz winter weather presentation going on. So we'll see see who we do get and who we don't get. Anybody else that would join, like to join the amateur Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Wealth Tips Net this evening, please come now with your call sign. This is Kilo 1, Juliet, Mike, November, Jerry and Preston. Further recognizes Jerry, K1JMN, and Steve, and K1B. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. First off, I'll ask everybody to just bear with me for about 20 seconds. Let me reset this EchoLink session because I think it's having issues. Hold on. Be right back.
KC1TWR disconnected. Connected. KC1TWR.
Okay, very good. Hopefully my reception on this is going to get a little bit better. Okay, so far we have five of us this evening and no questions on the table, so I do have one. And this was brought home by, I can't remember, somebody had an issue with some part and it was something they had not anticipated. And all of us finally found out what it was. So my question is, does anybody have favorite story or stories about parts that failed that make you kind of scratch your head and say, what? Why did that part fail? How the heck, you know, we expect certain things to fail. We expect, for instance, connectors on antennas. You know, they may get loose. They may get frayed if they get bent too much, et cetera. We expect certain things. My story, to start this off, was I was working for the Groton Public Schools as their network person, and all of a sudden the network went down. Well, part of our network was a FinNet, was a, you know, using the 50-ohm cables, and at either end of it, you have to have a 50-ohm terminator for the signal to bounce back, and if you don't, then all traffic kind of stops. So I tracked it down, and the story of itself is something different, but the main point is, it was one of those ends that failed. I expected to find a cable that got caught in a desk and the end got pulled off, or something of that nature, but no, this was an actual failed 50-ohm terminator with a BNC connector at the end of the network cable. And I've never seen that since, and it's one of those deduction things that went down and said, who is it who said, when you've eliminated all the possibilities and whatever's left, no matter how improbable, that's the answer. Well, I know I'm paraphrasing that badly, but I think somebody might come back with the right quote. But that gives you an idea. That's my question. Anybody have any stories about parts that failed that made you kind of scratch your head and say, boy, that was weird. That either part never should have failed or never should have failed that way. Or maybe never worked right out of the box. Okay, let's start with Dave. And you can either answer that if you have something on the top of your head. Or you can bring to the table anything else you'd like to talk about or tell us how your day went. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening, Tim and Kevin and Steve, and I'm not sure I heard anybody else. If I did, I'm sorry I missed you. This is K1DCT. Oh, boy, how my day went. I mean, there's too many options there, Tim, because when you signed out and then we're going to come back, that's kind of like the substitute teacher left the room. open season. Anyway, with that, let's see, parts that failed. Well, I don't know. I'm sure I've run across a lot of them. It didn't give me an awful lot of time to conjure one up, but I do remember one thing very early in my professional electronic career, if you'll call it that. It was, downhill slide of an extremely mediocre career. But very early in that, I worked at a place, and I was sort of a production test technician. So they had a bunch of mostly women assembling these things, and then I would test them out and either, you know, say they worked or fix them and then say they worked. Or, well, the place I worked for was extremely frugal, shall we call them. And they bought, I don't know how many thousands of diodes, regular switching diodes. They were for IN4001s or 4004s or something very common. So we'd be testing these things, and you'd find something that failed, and you'd be looking around. You couldn't find anything totally obvious. So you have to, you know, start, as they say, ohming it out. And come to find out, many of these diodes had the band that we all know is, you know, let's say the goes out end of the diode, the band was on the wrong end. So the people assembling them put them in exactly as they were supposed to, but technically they were wrong because the band was on the wrong end. So, at first we started throwing these things away, and then I said, well, let's just turn them around. You know, they work, the customer's not going to know, who cares? So that's my story, K1DCT.
That's an excellent story there, Dave. And I'm sure that can apply to a lot of other types of things where, you know, things get put in the wrong box and what have you. Some mistakes are made because of carelessness. Some are made by whoever at the factory was doing the diodes. Obviously, something got goofed up and they were putting them in backwards. But, we'll move on to the next person and see what he thinks of either that or my story, or maybe he's got something that he knows about. KA6PDG, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
Okay, 6PDG, good evening to the TipsNet assembled. Well, really, only two things come to mind, maybe it's a difficult question for me because I don't tend to do my own bench work. I'm not a technical, you know, me and a soldering iron, we have to stay far away from each other. But two things come to mind based on what you brought up. I remember years ago learning that BNC connectors, the BNC adapters, will put on the end of a PL259 to adapt it for an HT radio or whatever the purpose is, that those BNC connectors can be very suspect, particularly back in the day before we had the internet where you could just get on Amazon or go to your favorite electronics website and order a couple of BNC connectors and they'd be delivered 2 days later, if not the following day. And before we used credit cards as much as we do now, it was a little harder to just order stuff from HRO or whatever. So if you needed a few BNC connectors, you went to Radio Shack. Let me reset. And while Radio Shack, as we all remember, had a lot of stuff, and that was a good thing because just about every town of any size had a Radio Shack store. So whatever little part or adapter or plug or whatever, or even Dave was talking about diodes, you know, you can go to Radio Shack and pick them up. But that doesn't mean that just because they were readily available that they were quality. So that's just the name of that marketing. And so a number of times I had BNC connectors go out. The other thing that comes to mind is not so much a part but an entire radio. The ICOM 02AT, the ICOM 02 Alpha Tango, was one of the first synthesized digital type radio with DTMF touchtone on it. And good radio. I enjoyed mine. One of the things about the radio was, and I know we don't talk a lot about this stuff on the air, but it's, you can't even find one anymore. It was relatively easy if you had authorized use of other frequencies that could be somewhat simply adapted. Well, this radio, for some reason, stopped working right, and I don't remember what the problem was, whether it wouldn't transmit or the touchtone pad wasn't working. I don't recall. And whatever issue it was, it would come and go. And finally, somebody made the joke, well, Kevin, why don't you just put it in the refrigerator overnight or in the freezer? And, you know, the problem went on, and but that stuck. And so, long story short, I finally got so fed up with the problem with the handheld radio that I put it in the freezer overnight. The next morning, I took it out, turned it on. It worked perfectly and never gave me a problem. I had it for several years after that. KA6PDG, back to net.
Well, that is an interesting solution to a problem. I've heard of people whose hard drives, the regular platter-type hard drives, IDE hard drives and the like, starting to go bad, and people saying put it in the refrigerator or in the freezer, rather, for a couple hours and let it really cool down, take it out, plug it in, get your data off quickly before it warms up and fail and starts to fail again. But the fact that your radio was fixed by that and then stayed fixed, that is definitely on the odd side. That's good. Okay, next we're going to move on to Jerry, K1JMN, and find out if he has any parts that failed or things that didn't go as planned, but really weird stuff, stuff that you would not expect. K1JMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, K1JMN, good evening, Tim, and everyone else on the net. Yeah, I've had strange fixes as a field technician. I've fixed all kinds of stuff, disk drives, tape drives, and printers and such. And one line printer in New London was giving me a tough time. And it was a very intermittent problem. It wouldn't happen all the time, but it would happen mostly when it did happen. It happened at the end of the day. And it turns out the customer was printing forms. Let me give it a quick break. Reset. And the printer will print and then not print. And then it'll print and then wouldn't print. And then what in the world is going on? Well, long story short, after replacing all the logic boards and everything else on that, power supply and everything, the only one thing to change out was the main motor. Replacing the main motor fixed it. It turns out it was getting too hot and the thermal switch was cutting out and was preventing the motor from turning on and doing its job. Replacing the motor, put a new thermal switch, the problem went away forever. That's my fix. K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. And that certainly is an interesting thing that it had to go through all those things to get to the one thing you would not think would be the problem. Okay, before we go to Steve, I'd like to do another call out. If anybody else would like to join us on the TipsNet this evening, please come now with your call sign. Okay, we'll move on to Steve, and with as much tinkering as I believe I think he does, I suspect he may have a story or two to tell us as well. NK1V, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
NK1V, yes, a good subject. I could go most of the night. I will start by saying that most of the failures are generated by the same globe that's currently generating this audio. It's usually a mistake that I've made and caused something to fail. One of the slightly expensive, but I'm using one recently on my tower project was I call it a pass-through. It's like a barrel connector where you have you can hook two pieces of coax to it, and it's threaded and has little O-rings so you can seal it, so you can pass through like a metal plate of whatever style. Well, the N-type, which is technically female to female, which is always a little bit confusing on the N-type and VNC connectors, the PL259, regular UHF, will screw directly onto an N-type female, and it'll seem like everything's just jolly, but it's not, because the center of the PL259 will spread out the inside of the N-type and just basically destroy it. $17 gone, but a mistake well learned. And what was the other one? Oh, another, let me reset. Another thing I run into, and I believe three times I've done this now, and I may have mentioned it on this net. I tend to move things around and shuffle things, and so I have an Ameritron AL811 amplifier, which is extremely heavy, and it's partnered to ATR30. And I'll move it around sometimes, do various things. Sometimes I'll put it away for a while. Sometimes I'll bring it back out. Well, on three occasions, I've set it back up, triple-checked all my connections, all the relay things, and all the such and what, and I get no output. And it puzzles me, and I almost get to the point the last time where I was ready, well, I'll just pack it away, and I'll get some time when I get some bench time, and I'll take a look at it. And then I remember that in the back, which did not originally come with a knob, but I put a knob on, is the ALC control, which is extremely sensitive. And when you're picking up this heavy object, as you hand big, pudgy little fingers move around, it tends to roll that knob in the direction which turns it down to nothing. So a little half a turn of the knob, and she perks right back up. Back to net, NK1V.
Okay, thank you very much. That's, that can definitely catch you if you're not being careful. That's true. Okay, we've made through one round of the TipsNet. Next round, I don't really have a question, so we'll just ask how everybody's doing today and if there's anything else they'd like to bring up on today's net. And we'll start with, who's the first person on the list? Dave, K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
All right, well, good evening again. This is K1DCT, and I'm sorry I forgot to mention Jerry during my first round, so I wanted to get that in there. And, you know, it's easy to forget me. I'm often forgotten. So that's how that goes. And as far as Kevin's little solution there with putting the freezer, you know, sometimes, as hard as it is for me to accept, sometimes we just have to chill. So, there's been a lot of interesting things, and I remember back, way back in my extremely mediocre career, we had freeze spray, and sometimes, you know, if something wasn't working, you put a little freeze spray on it, And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I hit that part with some freeze spray, and then everything started to work, and then it warmed up again, so that must be the part. May or may not have been. It could have been, you know, some resistor out of tolerance or something else, but it generally got you in the right direction. And the other useful thing about free spray is if you work somewhere that was air conditioned and you're like me and you always felt cold, you could spray a little of that on the thermostat and shut it down. So that's a good solution. Outside of that, hey, been a rainy day. The only thing I can say is I guess it's radio related, I don't know. I have this song stuck in my head, and the title of the song is Sweet Jane, like a woman's name, Jane. I thought it was by the James Gang, but I only find Lou Reed, who also did Take a Walk on the Wild Side. I find that out on the internet, and it's satisfying, but I cannot get the song out of my head. So that's my dilemma for today. Back to net, K1DCT. Probably too much information.
Thank you, Dave. No, not too much information. That was interesting. Your story about songs just brought to mind a few songs in my mind, but I'm not going to mention any name of them because I don't want anybody to get them stuck in their heads. Okay, you had said something else that I was going to comment on, but when you start talking about songs, the other part just flew right out of my head. And it keeps trying to come back, but I can't quite grasp it. So I'm going to turn to Kevin and see what he has for this round. KA6PDG, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
Thanks, Tim. That sort of thing happens to me all the time. I think I need some freeze spray for the brain, or the thermometer for the brain thermostat. By the way, speaking of freeze spray, and I don't think I've ever used the stuff, but I know that it exists or existed or whatever. And my question would be, what was that? Was that liquid nitrogen or something else? And let's see, since you left it kind of open, the only thing it sort of occurred to me, Halloween's coming. And I wonder if people have had any particularly weird, strange, odd, maybe scary, unusual things happen to them related to radio or amateur radio. And unfortunately, I've had a number of them, most of which would take a while to describe, so I won't. But one I remember is hearing my voice come back at me over the radio on 20 meters. Let me reset. And I know Dave's probably going, aha, aha, yep. Because I think there's a word for that, and I don't remember what it is. But there are situations, and it's not common, but it does happen, where your signal goes all the way around the world and comes back at your receiver a second or a second and a half or 2 seconds later, whatever the time is. And I actually had that happen to me once. I believe I was calling CQ. I don't remember. A long time ago when I lived out west in Oregon. And it's a condition that happened for a very brief amount of time, maybe half a minute, maybe a minute. And then it was gone. And my understanding is that's usually the way it happens. But as far as weird things that have happened to me pertaining at least to amateur radio, that was certainly one of the weirdest. It's very Halloween-y. K6PDG, back to that.
Thanks, Kevin. That definitely is kind of weird. And definitely, actually, fits the category of the first question that I asked. So that's good. Thank you very much for that. And, Dave, I did remember what it was that I was trying to remember. You're talking about people using freeze sprays on thermostats. In the Groton schools where I used to work in maintenance, they used Johnson thermostats, which are controlled by air pressure. So there was no electricity in them or anything else. Some teachers finally figured it out, and what they would do is they would get the really cold days in the winter when the heat was trying to keep the rooms warm. They'd go down and they would grab a ice cube from the teacher's lounge, bring it back, put it on top of the Johnson thermostat, and of course that would make the Johnson thermostat think it was very cold in the room, open up the valve all the way so that the valve on the radiators would open up all the way. And unfortunately, in some of the buildings, that didn't make any difference. They were already wide open, and it was just so cold out and so little insulation in the buildings or the additions that had been built. But anyhow, this is the choice of the Amateur Radio Club Wellness Net, correction, Tips Net. Okay, I have to keep my net straight here. Glad I'm not a fisherman, then I'd have even more nets to worry about. But anyhow, before we continue with Jerry and with Steve, I'd like to open that up, that if anybody else would like to join us this evening on the Tips Net, please come now with your call sign. Okay, now we'll move on to Jerry, and we'll carry through with the question that Kevin was asking. Have you had anything spooky or somewhat unnatural, or is just something plain weird happened to you in connection with amateur radio? And I believe it was and Halloween, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just anything spooky with radio. K1JMN, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
KC1TWR, K1JMN, good evening all. And no, I have nothing spooky happened to me just yet with ham radio. Haven't had that much experience yet. Haven't done a lot of things with ham radio, although I keep trying. And I will continue to endeavor with the ham radio, see what happens. But yeah, I have nothing to share, so K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. No worries. Get a few more years of amateur radio under your belt, and sooner or later something will happen. I can almost guarantee it. But let's move on to Steve and see what he has. NK1V, this is KC1TWR on the TipsNet.
NK1V. Yeah, I had a similar experience to what Kevin described, and oddly enough, I was almost expecting it because it was recently after I was licensed with my general, and my Elmer was one of the things he had mentioned, long path, short path, radio, transmission and stuff coming back around, and so I thought it was more common than ever. So I was actually in a QSO with a gentleman in Ontario, and I talked a couple times back and forth, and everything was normal. Then I heard him talk, and at the same time, I heard what I had just said came back around, and then that was it. It never happened again. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. He mentioned that. Maybe that'll happen. And it has never happened since, and I don't hear about it that often, and I've never had anything similar at all happen to that before. But it was clear as day, and it happened once, and then that was it. And I can only presume that that's what it was, coming around both short and long, and takes a little bit longer the long way. But maybe it was something else, but I guess that's it, and that's kind of what I was expected. Back to that, and get one me.
Something caught my throat. No, that's interesting, Steve. Same thing, short wave, long wave, and it's funny how radio waves travel.
Okay, it's about 25 of. I think we have enough time for another round, and which is good for Dave because he didn't get a chance to answer Kevin's question. So we'll go to Dave and trying to think of anything else we want to ask as far as this goes. Oh, does anybody have any special plans for Halloween evening, Saturday evening? And don't forget to set your clocks back at 2 o'clock in the morning. I personally am lazy. I don't set my alarm for 2 to wake up to reset the clock for 1 because then I know it'll go off at 2 again. But anyhow, any special plans for Saturday evening? I know I plan on attending the Horizontal Engineers Net at 7 o'clock on Saturday on the Groton Repeater because a certain fellow him should be having a good net. I'll just put it that way. And we'll see how that goes. So anyhow, over to Dave with those two questions. One, anything spooky ever happened to you with amateur radio? And number two, any plans for Halloween Eve? And K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
All right, this is K1DCT. Let's see, I'll try and get through all this stuff, hopefully in record time. First I'll comment about the ice cube from the teacher's lounge, because that's where they kept their vodka bottles in the ice maker so they could make it through the day. And because, Tim, I heard you mention, I think it was earlier today, that you worked at Eastern Point School in Groton. I went to that school. I know it's closed now, but it was a bomb shelter, and that was always cool to go down in the basement and watch some sort of movie or something, see all the signs that say it was a bomb shelter. But let's see, Halloween. Gonna be quiet here because, as Tim knows, I live in a long driveway on a busy road, so I've never had any trick-or-treaters. So it's a boring Halloween, and I like Halloween. I would love to live somewhere where you could dress things up. So I did put a video together a few years ago on my Facebook page, because I have my very own Jacob's Ladder, and if you don't know what that is, it's the thing from the Frankenstein movies with the spark going up and slowly spreading apart and then breaking. So you get that sound, and so I have one of those that I built because I thought I needed it for some reason, just because, I don't know, too much time on my hands probably. So that's about all I've got for Halloween. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave. And it sounds like quite the gadget. And I think it's going to be a number of years before kids ever go trick-or-treating again. They'd already started to not have trick-or-treating even before COVID-19 because of all the warnings about razor blades and apples and things of that nature. And it's really kind of a shame. It really is that, just a few people spoil it for the other millions of kids out there. But it is what it is, and best, I guess, to be on the safe side. Okay, let's move on to Kevin, KA6BDG. This is KC1TWR on the tips net.
All right, thanks, Tim. Nice, interesting comments all around. Halloween Eve, Tim, that would be Friday night. Because remember, Halloween is All Hallows Eve. That's what Halloween is. So Halloween Eve would be the night before. Don't have anything special planned. Halloween is always a busy day and evening with the internet radio station, so I'll be doing some of that. But other than that, it'll probably just be a quiet evening. I like Halloween. And last year, we had a lot of fun with the trick-or-treaters. The past 2 years, between my next-door neighbor and her daughter and myself, we did the traditional thing as adults. Quit snickering, Dave. So anyway, no special plans for Halloween night. And I'm out of things to say. If you want to note the time, it is, let's see, 7:41 p.m. on October 28th, KA6PDG, back to that.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Good to know what time it is and what the date is. That's very helpful. And you're absolutely correct. Halloween Eve would be Friday night. My mistake on that. Then again, so there is no real name for the day before Halloween, but there's a name for the day after Halloween. And I'll let people see if they can think about that and comment on that. But anyhow, let's move on to Jerry, K1JMN, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
Yes, K1JMN here. Yeah, I have the same dilemma that Dave has. Other than I'm out of the way. I'm on a country road, but not many youngsters live on it, and not many youngsters come by the house ever. So Halloween is pretty boring and dull around here. I would love to hand out candy to the kids, but they don't come around here. So that's a done deal. And then I wish we had other things to do. But not much. To answer your question, Tim, no, I don't have anything planned for Saturday night. So if you want to come over, let me know. All right, K1JMN, back to net.
Well, thank you, Jerry. And unfortunately, with COVID-19, we're not visiting anybody at this point, not even family. So we're playing the part of hermits. But let's go ahead and move on to Steve and K1V. It's KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
And K1V. I suspect on Halloween I'll be tearing apart my 7100 on the bench because there's definitely something wrong with it. It must have gone way off frequency or something, or there's some sort of major issue internally, because I could have sworn I heard Kevin say he was out of things to say. So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check into that. Maybe I'll check the recording. Halloween is usually a really big deal here. Most years, past 8 or 9 years, we do nothing at the house. But as you've heard me probably ramble on, we usually do quite the event at whatever campground we choose to go to. It sometimes two in a year. But we did go camping a couple times this year, but we actually downsized our Halloween setup a little bit this year just because I'm getting kind of old for that. But and the grandkids aren't that excited about it anymore. But the COVID and everything just wasn't worth all the setting up and getting in there and everything. So it's actually kind of a weird feeling, because usually we make quite the event of it. And we're doing little or nothing this year. You know, we're setting some stuff up for the grandkids, some, you know, little treat bags and stuff like that. But nothing major at all. I do believe we're going to another, some sort of socially acceptable haunted thing or something that next weekend, but this coming weekend. But other than that, not much. Back to Net and K1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And yes, COVID-19 is impacting us all over the place. So that's a shame that camping trips are off, but then again, probably better safe than sorry. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and talk about closing the first section here of the net. But first, I wanted to check if there are any last check-ins for the first section of the TipsNet, or any additional comments that anybody would like to make. Please come with your call sign now.
K1DCT.
And you knew it couldn't last, KA6PDG.
Okay, we'll take them in order. Dave and then Kevin, K1DCT, please proceed.
Yes, I'm with Steve. I'm going to have to tear apart this new radio because I thought I heard Kevin say he was out of things to say. So there has to be some anomaly in the audio track of this receiver, K1DCT.
Okay, interesting comment from Steve and from Dave. But now we'll go to Kevin and see what he does have to say. KA6PDG, KC1TWR in the TIPS net.
Well, that was why I noted the time and date when I did, so that it could be properly recorded in the annals of history that such an event took place. But before you go to the other two parts of the net, and just something for people to think about because Halloween's coming, I just wonder, is there such a thing, or has anybody ever been in a haunted house? A haunted house, which I assume would be a haunted house where a second set of ghosts come along, or maybe a second ghost comes along and decides it's going to haunt the house that's already haunted. So I hope that the thought I've left you with will not haunt you the rest of the week, KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. And that immediately brought to mind the characters that would probably be in such a house, which strikes me as probably Abbott Costello. They would be the type to come back as ghosts and then be haunted themselves, or something of that nature. Anyhow, before we move on to the second and third parts of the TIPSnet, any last check-ins or any last comments on the first section, please call now. Okay, so that'll be the end of the first section, and we'll now start the second section of the TIPSnet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? If so, please call now. Okay, just a couple of quick reminders. Number one, Tri-City is doing their next test session for amateur radio licenses on December 12th, I believe it is, at the East Great Plain Firehouse starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. Reservations are required. You can go to the tricityarc.net webpage to get further details. We also have on November 14th is the Red Cross and Emergency Communications, including ARES, National Simulated Emergency Test. We're going to do it two-phase. One is what National is pushing down, which is trying to get everyone to report in on Winlink, and they will send out instructions on what form they're looking for and what information. And locally in Connecticut, ARES Region 4, we're going to focus on doing that, but also on the analog side, seeing if we can get amateur radio operators to go to their local EOC or Red Cross shelter, because there's 10 regional shelters in Region 4, and not go inside, you know, unless, you know, like with the EOC, if you already have permission and you want to go inside, that's entirely up to you. But my preference is that everyone would go there in their car, and from their car, just do a shelter report, and further information on that will be coming out but that will be collected by Tom, W-A-2-R-Y-V, at the Red Cross office in Bonneville, and then report it up from there. So that's how we normally communicate during emergencies here in Territory 4, so we want to practice that. So we haven't done that in a while. Okay. Any other comments or questions or thoughts or activities or anything else for the concerning amateur radio or what have you? Before we close the second section, please come now. Okay, very good. Now we'll move on to the third section of the tips net. Is there any... sorry, I had a tangential thought. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
This is K1JMN, Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, K1JMN, please proceed.
Okay, I have a neighbor who is looking for a 2-meter radio that would be inexpensive and easy to use. This, my neighbor is Dennis, KC1NYB, and I'd like to help him out find locating an inexpensive 2-meter radio. So if anybody has any information, I'd appreciate it if you could share it with me. Okay, K1JMN, back to net.
Before we put that out, quick question. Is he looking for HT, mobile, regular base station radio? What's his preference?
Oh, sure. He's looking for a base station, but I suppose a mobile would work just as well. But that's it. K1JMN, back to net.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'm teasing you, but legitimate question. Depending on the radio, I presume he'll also need a power supply to go with that? Back to you.
Yeah, that is true. That is correct. He would need a power supply to go with that. It is basically a 2-meter that he's looking for. So anything that anyone can offer up as information would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, you folks heard what he's looking for. Anyone that has any other, besides me, having any questions or have any comments for Jerry about such matter, please call now. Okay. I think we've been through the first, second, and third sections of the tips net. I'm going to go ahead and close up the tips net, but before we do that, at last, this is your last chance, last call for any check-ins, comments, or crosstalk. Please come with your call sign now. Trying to hit the disconnect button. It's not a good thing. Okay, that was the last call, and we have no further check-ins or comments. I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net this evening, and thanks also to all those who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. We also want to thank John W1AN for allowing us to use the W1BX repeater. Joe, K1IKE, for the EchoLink connection, which is Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray Dash Romeo on EchoLink. And also Kevin, KA6BDG, for recording these and making them available at the website am1700.org/tipsnet. That's Alpha Michael 1700.org/tipsnet. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office in Knoxville. However, recently they've been doing Zoom meetings. You can find out details on that just before they have the meeting on their website, tricityarc.net, and that's at 7 p.m. This net will meet again next Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo wishing everyone a good evening and 73.